It's down to you.
Your gift right now helps WBEZ unlock an extra $85,000. Support WBEZ's essential stories about politics, our economy, and Chicagoland's arts and culture scene, and your gift will be worth even more.
If 1,500 people donate by 7 p.m. on June 23rd, WBEZ will earn this $85,000 from two anonymous donors.
So please hurry. Give at WBEZ.org/donate. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson is headed to Springfield today in part to lobby against a proposal that would give tax breaks to the Bears for a suburban stadium. The megaproject bill would allow the Bears to make flat payments in lieu of property taxes on a stadium in Arlington Heights. Johnson says he's going to speak with state lawmakers who represent parts of Chicago.
I'm disappointed that the bulk of the conversation about Springfield right now is about how do we provide benefits for corporations at a time in which affordability is the number one issue that people are concerned about.
The bill would also provide some tax relief to homeowners in part to balance out negative optics of assisting a pro sports team that's valued at nearly $9 billion. The measure passed the House and is awaiting a vote by the Senate with a May 31st deadline. A Cook County Board of Review commissioner was acquitted today in a drunken driving case. Samantha Steele was arrested in 2024 when she crashed her car into a parked vehicle on Chicago's North Side. Body camera video showed Steele had an open wine bottle in her car, and she repeatedly told police officers she was an elected official. But at the end of the two-day trial, a Cook County judge said the evidence only amounted to suspicion of intoxication, and Steele was found not guilty. She lost her re-election bid in November. Vaccination rates remain high among school-aged children in Illinois despite federal efforts to decrease the number of required vaccines. That's according to new data released by the Illinois Department of Public Health. The measles vaccination rate is nearly 97% across Illinois. This comes as other parts of the country have experienced measles outbreaks. For months, Illinois officials have pushed back on efforts to limit childhood vaccinations that are being led by Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The Chicago Sky are getting ready for a new season, and they have a lot of new faces. Between acquiring guard Skylar Diggins and forward Rakia Jackson and drafting Gabriela Jaquez from UCLA, the team will bring a completely different style of play to the court. The Sky will start the season on the road for four games, but head coach Tyler Marsh says he sees that as an advantage.
I think it's all about perspective. It's obviously going to be a challenge for us, but at the same time, if you're going to be battle-tested, you want to be battle-tested early in the season and be able to face that adversity and hopefully it builds some more trust and unity amongst our group that we're able to carry throughout the season.
The first game of the Sky's road trip will come against the new expansion team, the Portland Fire, in what will be their first ever WNBA game. That's Saturday at 8 p.m. A group of Chicago musicians is putting together a benefit concert in support of a local nonprofit that uplifts immigrant communities. Next week, artists from the Chicago Symphony Orchestra and the Lyric Opera Orchestra will perform classical music to raise money for Centro Romero. Symphony violinist Max Ramey organized the fundraiser. He tells WBEZ's In the Loop as immigration enforcement continues in Chicago. He wants to help in his own way.
You know, like anybody else, musicians are people that live in this world and see what's going on in this world. And what's going on in the world is pretty frightening. I'm often reminded of the line in the Bob Dylan song, Buckets of Rain, where he said, all you can do is do what you must. So this is what we have to offer, and this is how we take part.
The benefit for Centro Romero will take place at Pianoforte Studios in the South Loop. You're listening to The Rundown. Earlier this year, the world's most famous classical music concert featured Florence Price, a late Chicago composer. But was it really her music? WBEZ contributor Hannah Edgar reports.
Every year, almost 50 million viewers tune into the Vienna Philharmonic's New Year's concert. The orchestra plays 19th century Viennese waltzes in an elegant, gilded setting. Months later, the classical music world is still buzzing about this year's concert. Specifically, this waltz by the late Chicago-based composer Florence Price. This is Rainbow Waltz. The Vienna Philharmonic's performance made Price not just the first Black composer featured on its New Year's concert, but the first non-European composer to be featured ever. That's something Chicagoans and, in fact, all Americans should be proud of. But that milestone proved more complicated than it seems. When Price wrote her Rainbow Waltz in 1939, she wrote it for piano. That means the Vienna Philharmonic needed to arrange it for orchestra for the New Year's concert. Problem is, the arrangement performed earlier this year doesn't sound like Price's style at all. Where her original is subtle, nostalgic, and kind of aching, the arrangement is bold, brassy, and bombastic. It sounds like a standard Viennese waltz. Vienna's adaptation has caused a stir in the classical music world.
A few weeks ago, a couple of days...
Johannes Gluck had never heard of Florence Price, but the Vienna-based musical theater composer looked her up after the New Year's concert. That's when he noticed the discrepancy between the two waltzes.
And they were announcing that they were going to perform a piece written by a woman, and not only a woman, but an African-American woman. It's so disrespectful to the composer to announce a work by Florence Price and then just play something that she did not write.
The Price scholars I spoke to were just as perplexed, but they weren't totally surprised. They told me Price's life and career were full of ambivalent victories. Even while she was alive, Price would express frustration when she felt her music was being arranged poorly. Here's scholar Samantha Ege.
It's great that we have her perspective on it and that we understand that this was something that she encountered in her own time. People adapting her voice and her having to advocate for herself.
I was amazed at the Chicago Symphony.
A few months ago, the Vienna Philharmonic spoke to me through their chairman, Daniel Froschauer. He told me he first learned about Florence Price 2 years ago, when our own Chicago Symphony took Price's music on tour to Vienna. So, when conductor Yannick Nezet-Séguin suggested playing Price's music at the New Year's concert, Froschauer was game.
Good music, it moved me, it was beautiful. She stands for so many values that are incredible, and she had a hard life, you know.
He told me the Vienna Philharmonic first considered playing an excerpt from the same symphony the CSO had played. What Froschauer didn't tell me? Last week, the conductor of the New Year's concert told press that he'd actually put forward an African-American composer, Valerie Coleman, to arrange Rainbow Waltz. But the Philharmonic rejected both options, saying it didn't fit their style. Instead, Coleman's version will premiere in Philadelphia next year, and the Vienna Philharmonic went with the version of Rainbow Waltz that's now catching so much flack. Froschauer, the Philharmonic chairman, sees it this way.
Whatever we do seems to be at the center of attention. I'm just glad that Florence Price got the center of attention.
That may be the bright side. Indeed, some artists told me they've seen bumps in streaming numbers of Price's music since that New Year's concert. That includes the recording of Rainbow Waltz we've used across this broadcast, by pianist Michael Clark. What happened on New Year's should be a starting point for those curious about Price, not an end. Those that choose to learn more about her will discover a singular and original American voice. One worth hearing the world over. Hannah Edgar for WBEZ.
Mostly cloudy skies in our forecast tonight, lows in the mid-40s. Mostly cloudy on Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.